sound furnishes a room. You don't feel you've gone into an unfurnished space or an empty space if there's the sound of water. Water holds you, cleanses you, and cleanses your spirit too. We do try to go beyond the physical, to bring people beyond the physical with the feng shui and the biogeometry, and water is very important.
Welcome to the fifth season of the Global Wellness Summit podcast. I'm your host, Kim Marshall, co-founder of Swell the Agency and a wellness storyteller. This season will see us post our 50th episode. We've come so far since first launching at GWS Singapore in 2019. We've been able to talk to so many amazing folks in the wellness space, all inspired by the goings-on in and around the annual Global Wellness Summit, which in fact will next be held November 30th to December 3rd, 2021, at the Encore Boston. Our podcast also gleans inspiration from the sister organization of GWS, the Global Wellness Institute. In fact, this season of the podcast includes interviews with some of the experts who were part of the Global Wellness Institute's first ever Wellness Real Estate Symposium, held September 28th in New York City. Our episode today is an interview with one of the most well-known speakers at that symposium, a pioneer in wellness design, someone who, like Cher, Madonna, and Gaga, is famous enough to need only one name, and that name is Clodagh. To set the stage, we recorded this episode the morning after the New York City symposium in Clodagh's memorable design studio near Gramercy Park. Fun fact, this multi-award-winning interior design phenomenon was born in Oscar Wilde's summer home in Ireland, and she was one of the first to put forth the idea that good design can support well-being. Today, her sleek, minimalist designs are as recognizable and exquisite as a Balanchine ballet. Another fascinating fact, Clodagh is proud to be a rebel. It took being laid up as a teenager after a horseback riding accident for her to decide not to be the classical math professor her father wanted her to be, but instead to borrow a bit of money from her mother and set up shop as a fashion designer in Dublin. Today, she says being rebellious is part of her DNA and it inspires her creativity. And she's moved beyond fashion and calls herself simply a designer. Someone who will apply her talents to anything from yachts to hotels to her licensed collections of furniture, tiles, carpet, bathroom fixtures, and more. My co-host for this episode is another iconic female designer, Veronica Schreibe-Smith, the wellness architect who not only won the Global Wellness Summit Women in Wellness Award last year, but who is also interviewed in episode 34 of this podcast. It was so very special for me to be with two generational bookends in the world of wellness design. Notice the attitude these female entrepreneurs share. It will inspire you. And you won't want to miss the DIY tips they share for bringing wellness into your own home. Listen for the rather magical way Clodagh approaches her design projects from Portugal to Miami and beyond. And we ladies even chat about how the clothes we wear can actually be another voice, a way to get to express yourself without talking. So get ready to laugh and learn as we get to know the delightful Clodagh. Well, here we are. So exciting, the newest season of the Global Wellness Summit podcast. We're in the Big Apple, the first time since January 2020. And we have the privilege to interview today two generational female wellness design legends. We have as our co-host today, Veronica Schreibe-Smith, Wyoming-based. She is can be found her whole story on episode 34 of the Global Wellness Summit podcast, so be sure to tune in. But she's going to help me today because she's got the design brain, because we get to interview the amazing, the legendary, the funny, feisty, and beautiful Clodagh. And so we're in her studios here on, is this Fifth Avenue or Lex? What are we on?
Well, we're between Lex and Third.
Lex in third. It's so exciting. It's a beautiful day.
Sorry, Lex. I'm absolutely wrong. Between Park and Lex.
Park and Lex and 23rd. Okay, there we are. To me, I wouldn't know. I live in L.A., so here we go. But let us introduce our wonderful guest co-host, Veronica. Welcome.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here with you today and to be able to be with Clota and get an insider's look.
So, Clota, I have to brag about you for just one second. I can't read all your awards because it's only a 40-minute podcast, so we're just going to talk about your Platinum Index Award for Design Excellence, your residence in the Design Magazine Hall of Fame, your Manfred Steinfeld Platinum Circle Humanitarian Award, all your books, all your licensing agreements. Who are you, really? We're going to find out today. Welcome, Clota.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, but then I might have to find out about myself, right?
The truth. We're exploring the truth.
We're exploring, yeah.
So, Clota, tell us where we were yesterday. What was the event, and how did you feel about it?
The event was the Global Wellness Realtors Wellbeing in Real Estate event. There were probably 120, 150 people there, and it was stunning. There were some amazing talks. I was bouncing in my chair, making sketches and notes. And somehow the energy in the room was like sticking your finger into a 220 volt. It was very exciting. And what interests me is diversity. I never can focus on one thing. I just try to weave it all together in my design and my work and my thinking. And all these thoughts coming from brilliant people. Very, very energizing.
Yeah, and really the role of Global Wellness Institute in foreseeing these trends ahead of time. Like, you know, real estate is the biggest chunk of investment in the world, they said, and now the demand for wellness is intersecting that. So what was your feeling of the day, Veronica? How did you feel?
Same. It was amazing, energizing, inspirational. What was really impressive is that there enough time has passed that a lot of these communities are built and they have real data and real feedback. And there's so many more popping up all over.
Right. And we just got world around the world tours of things happening, percolating almost on every continent. But there was a speaker who brought the house down with her humor, and she's sitting with us today, Veronica. And so she started out by this quote, "We're born naked, wet, and hungry. Then things got worse. And we had to find shelter," is what you said. So, Clota, is it fair to say that you were a real pioneer in the field of healthy buildings and healthy homes? And if so, how does it feel now that the world seems to be catching up to that notion?
Well, first, you used a word which I don't like, which is trend. I hate the word trend. I like the word movement. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be part of this movement very early on. I've been first in fashion and then in what I'm doing now, although I have a bit of do some fashion design on the side.
Yeah.
But it's a movement towards, with everybody's moving together. I feel if you say the word trend, it's passing and ephemeral. And the global wellness, even the title sounds solid and a movement and something that's going to go on and grow and spread. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited and very proud to be part of it.
Now, we can look up your history. It's so fun. And the gorgeous photos of you in the 50s and the 60s as a fashion designer. But you say, what is your job? What do you really do? Are you an interior designer, a fashion designer, or what?
I'm a designer.
Yep.
It handed to me and say, I want it designed, whether it's a car or a video or a new frock, dress, you know, pajamas. I'll do it. we were given a yacht recently to design the interior, to redesign, to make it more comfortable. A 12-berth yacht, big yacht. And it was fun. I mean, climbing up when the yacht was dry docked near Amsterdam, and climbing up this vast ladder and seeing what imagining this thing afloat and creating moments in it where people could gather. And it was such fun. You know, so when I'm working, I walk through the space and I imagine what people are going to be doing there. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be chatting? Are they going to be exhausted and reading and lying down? Are they going to want to find a place to make love? You know, everything. Think of everything.
And you brought out something yesterday about storage and closets. What is your bugaboo about that?
Well, actually, if everything should be in its place, and everything should have a place, a designated place, and the order actually, should you lose your sight one day, it'd be an hour to get up in the middle of the night when the lights are off, you should be able to push your hand on anything that you really need. And clutter, exhausted clutter, and is exhausting. It's very bad for the human mind.
That could explain a lot of things about my life there.
Well, it's anyway, I do focus on closets. I focus on storage. I find storage very sexy and exciting when it's done properly.
And Americans, at least Americans, I know, have too much. So to teach yourself not to hoard, right?
And yes, teaching yourself not to hoard is one thing. But if you make a mistake and buy something, then you should give it away instantly, you know, if you don't like it. And my rule is give one thing at least away every day. And I don't see my possessions reducing like till there's nothing either, you know, because you sort of automatically accumulate things. You're in Greece and you see a pair of shoes and you think, aha, try them on, they fit, you buy.
That's right.
So, but when you go back, you should have a look and see if you might give another pair of shoes away.
I love that rule. Now, Veronica is a female. You're female, what's obvious. Tell us what advice you would give female entrepreneurs. What would you tell that little girl lying on her back after the horseback riding injury we've all read that you had early on in life that sort of made you reset? Well, how would you want to prepare that little girl for what lies ahead?
If you're talking about me or a new little girl.
No, you. What would you want to tell yourself?
Oh, what I told myself is I'm going to be a fashion designer. I'm not going to be a professor of classical mathematics like my father wants me to be. So I really got to where I am through a series of rebellions.
Do you think you're still rebelling?
I think I am. I think it's my morning juice, rebellion. I mean, the education system, I think, for men and boys and girls stinks. And I really rebel against that. And I'm trying to help where I can in different countries. And, you know, but rebellion spurs creativity. And there was a sign in the Wynwood area where Danielle, my husband, was driving me. And I said, stop the car a minute, because in front of me was this huge sign that said stop, and somebody had written under it complacency. And then another one of the females in the studio came back with a photograph of another sign, you can't stop love.
Right. And Veronica, what was your favorite saying on her wall there?
Oh, behind every no, there is a yes.
Somewhere. Love that.
Somewhere, yes. In these rebellions, how much do you think that the rebellion has some amount of luck behind it? Or are you creating your own luck as you go?
I'm just pulling in the luck. It's there for everybody. Just to try. I just sit and think about it and it comes. Particularly since I haven't had any formal training in what I do. Our formal training for in anything.
Oh my goodness.
No, I can't even cook to a cookbook. You know, I look at the recipe and I think that's interesting, but maybe it should have this and this. Take that out. It's an editorial, curatorial process, really, design.
How much is your gut involved?
My gut never sleeps.
I love that.
Clodagh, earlier you were talking about the spaces and designing these moments into the spaces where you're imagining what somebody's going to be doing there. And we heard you talk yesterday about the energy of different places and about using feng shui masters and biogeometrists to clear the energy. But What I would like to know is what happens after that in your process. How much are you working with energy or designing for energy? And what does that mean for you? And how does that end up influencing the experiences that people have in those spaces?
Well, the first thing, we have biogeometrists, and we have a feng shui master. We have a few people we work with. And the first thing to do, it's like a room that's messy and sloppy, and maybe this blood spilled on the floor if an accident or something bad has happened there. The first thing is cleansing the space. Now, I don't do this. I have somebody who does it. You know, it's like my sound engineer, I have the biogeometry. I've automatically been doing it, I think, all my life, and I've got a bit of it in me. But then it's taken much further by somebody who truly understands how to move energy around in a space. And then what I do is I create energy in the spaces that is correct for the space. You know, what human event is going to happen in that space. And, you know, I'll soundproof the bedroom wall in a new apartment or put a closet on it. So if anybody's making mad passionate love and they've got kids in the house or friends in the house, you won't hear the sounds.
People That's so should, kind of you.
People should be able to make sound when they feel like it, right? And also, if you've got kids, there should be a place where they can be actually have riotous fun, you know, not supervised educational, therapy, but just have riotous fun, explore their own energy and where it takes them. There's a woman I know who has a school in Ireland, or not school actually, but she advises. She's a consultant about children at play and how to leave them alone at play, supervised but alone, mm-hmm. and see how the play evolves.
It's so important, and it's like your quote that says, "We don't get too old to play; we get old because we stop playing," or something.
That's it.
Your
wall. Yeah, exactly.
I have to remember that.
Yes.
Now, you know, here we are in September of 2021. What do you think? I feel that New York's energy is coming back. I'm very encouraged that I heard the Mu variant has been dissolved. it's now almost eradicated, let's knock wood, for COVID. But do you think the buildings and hotels and people who design them have learned any lessons from COVID? What do you think?
I think they've learned a lot. I think that design used to be very superficial. What does it look like? You know, it's only the visual. They weren't addressing the senses and the health and so on. It was just, okay, I can make this look great. And then I think the COVID has brought in feelings of, you know, the people's awareness of health and the anxiety and so on and so forth, and feeling safe in your place that you never had before. They took everything for granted. I mean, COVID, I think, has been an aid to living in better spaces. I'm sorry it takes a biblical plague to do that, but it's but consciousness has been raised. It's almost like going through the women's lib thing again.
Yep.
When suddenly we women were recognized.
Now healthy air and healthy water and is being recognized. Tell us, you walked us through your studio, what the materials you pick, the actual touch and feel, does it have to have a certain history, trajectory, the way the material's made? How sustainable are your selections?
We're as sustainable as we can be. It's not easy. We've talked about this a lot. Sometimes we'll use an acrylic out of doors, or a pure wool fabric. You know, if you've got kids and dogs, your sofa's not going to last too long, right?
I can attest to that.
Yes, Veronica has three children. Okay. No,
well, I had three boys. Same thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had three boys before I was 26, and it was a pretty lively household. I'll tell you.
So can I ask you ladies then, because a lot of our listeners are normal people, moms, dads, and you guys are real entrepreneurs. What have your children taught you about business? Have they made you a better business person?
I think that children make you a slightly better business person because you have to feed them and send them to school. So when you start thinking about finance, but what I've learned is that I call our trips, our staff trips, dry sponge, wet sponge, when we go to a new place. But children are dry sponge, wet sponge every day. You could literally see them absorbing experiences. Their eyes going round. And I love it.
They teach you so much.
And they teach it the way they look at things. And the way, I mean, I think one of the most interesting things in design is perception. Perception, expectations, they're all interesting to be addressed in design.
Veronica, how about you? How do your little ones? How old are your babies?
Just turned 5, 2.5, and 1.
Oh, God.
I think that the way that they really influenced me as a businesswoman is I've been forced to take better care of myself, where my natural tendency is to be a workaholic. There's nothing more joyful to pull you away from your work than these little kids running up to you or asking you why or asking you to go build blocks with them. And that's really special. And I think that just helps you keep a better pace, be more productive, and focus on what's really important.
I do. But I don't know about you, Veronica, but I took my children around with me as much as I could. You know, I was a fashion designer at one time, and I was sawing the ocean, between Dublin and New York, and I would throw my eldest son into the plane with me and bring him to Disneyland and stuff like that. You learn to explore more through the eyes of a child.
Yes, the constant question why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why? Exactly.
Why?
And if I was wearing a T-shirt now, one of my T-shirts would be, and I should make it, why not?
Why? I'm not surprised at that. Clodagh, I love an article I found about you in Cottages and Gardens, and it was a brief timeline of designer Clodagh, and it's so fun to see your gorgeous pictures and your fancy shoes. But in the 70s, 80s, and 60s, how have the decades really layered who you are today? What kind of perspective has it given you?
That's a tough one to answer. Mm-hmm. I think the perspective is to. I mentioned when I spoke yesterday that I have a lot of inner videos. I mean, my brain is practically dribbling out through my ears. I have so many inner videos. And I think all this taught me is that it all has value. Mm-hmm. And if it's a painful experience, then you can take it out and look at it again and put it into perspective. So the more experience I get, the more inner videos I have. And each one has value.
They weave a tapestry, sort of, right?
Yeah, I don't weave it. I layer them like, that French dessert and Napoleon. I layer the experiences, and then you'll talk to me about one, and then you say to talk to me, and you say Turkey, and suddenly I'll be,
in Istanbul, yeah,
in Istanbul, and thinking of the experience of walking through the streets and seeing all these stray dogs that look perfectly kept, and why they're not allowed in the house because of religion, but the people there. You feed them every day, despite the fact they're not allowed in the house. And you're thinking, isn't that nice? That's community, isn't it?
Those were the happiest dogs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know.
No leashes. I don't even know if they had collars. They just laid on your feet.
I know.
Because it was a good experience. I have so many questions, but Veronica, what would you like to know from Clodagh about women-led companies? What is a conundrum for you when it comes to women-led companies?
I don't know. I've never thought about women-led companies as a conundrum. What I've seen in women-led companies is really more of a sense of pioneering and beauty and strength. And I And I see that with you too, Floda, with the, you had to rebel to go make your own path. And and I think what might be interesting for people to hear is like what is that seed burning deep inside of you that happened when you were 16 or 17 and has continued to burn ever since then?
It's kind of happened before that, because I'm not competitive. I just like to win. And at school, I always wanted to be first in class. I'm a little dyslexic, so and face blind and so on, but I always wanted to be first in class, and first in hockey, first in tennis. And also when I'm riding, I rode racehorses for a while. I tried them out. You know, we're timed on the track. And that was all fun and very challenging. In fact, once when I was trying out one of the racehorses, you see there's the inner video, a pheasant flew out in front of him. He leaped sideways. I flew into the air and landed in a pile of rotten cow manure.
Cushioned the fall.
Yeah, and I was I was also neatly dressed, and this thing arose from the cow manure. So you have to learn to laugh.
Yes.
I don't know if I had to learn to laugh. I think that I just laugh naturally, but I think that's extremely funny. You know, this 14-year-old thinking this, she's hot stuff on a gleaming racehorse, you know, and the guy with the timer looking so serious.
Well, I'm sorry for that surprise question, Veronica, but I must tell you, I knew what your answer would be. And Clodagh, I said to her, did you ever feel like you were lonely, the only woman in the design world early on? And what did you say?
I can't remember now.
You said, I didn't think about it at all. It just worked.
Yeah, I didn't think about it at all. No, the only time I thought about it was when working with the union. Sometimes it was difficult with some of the guys in the elevator, you know, making remarks.
Yeah.
But I have a sharp tongue when I have to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You've had a very diverse design career. And even when you were giving us a tour of your office earlier, there's all these amazing prototypes. Furniture, lighting, textiles, tiles. Can you tell us a little bit about when you decided, and if this is something that you had always wanted to do, or if the opportunity came to you to license some of your designs and get them out to a wider marketplace, and how that's impacted your business?
It didn't occur to me until Design Techs invited me to do a fabric collection. And I got very excited about it. I was able to put my own fabric on a chair I had designed or sofa I designed. And people kept coming out. Then people kept coming out and asking me to do different things. You know, I'm just doing art wall covering for Chorus Seals. You can have a big art wall just with wall covering and repeat it. You know, we're doing a faucet collection. And everything is to the touch, you know, tactile. It's Each new collection is like having a pile of new children, and since I'm in the grandmother field, no, the only new children I'm going to have in my collection, right?
Do you feel like you had to give up some control when you had those licensing agreements, or do you feel pretty well represented?
I feel very well represented in licensing, because it's a dialogue. And we try to make everything a dialogue. Mm-hmm. I always likened, whether it's a collection or whether it's a new hotel, that I get a group together that I like, and it's like chamber music. We all play very well together. And then suddenly somebody comes in and there's a little bit of hard rap. Somebody changes the music a bit.
Yeah.
And then we go back to our chamber music. It's all sorted out. Mediation, is that the word?
Yep.
Yes, it's one of my specialties.
Oh, it is?
Yes, if there's bad things going on sites and stuff like that, I like to sort it out.
Oh, so I can keep your cell phone and get with you later? Because I did want to ask you, what is your motto for dealing with, you have lovely employees, they all dress so cool. Like I said, I have to look at their shoes and their jewelry. But how do you deal with difficult clients or difficult employees?
are usually on a one-to-one basis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's somebody who's extremely rich and doesn't give a damn about anything. And I try to do the flow-through system then, just so it sort of goes, comes in my ears and into my, then I let the anxiety and the anger flow out through my toes. Mm. So that it leaves my body clean and my head clean. And I don't bank it in my inner video. It's, there's a lot of cleansing that has to go on in one's life almost every day. You know when somebody's rude to you, really rude to you in the street for no reason whatsoever?
Yes.
If you hold it, you're just holding it, you know, you're becoming a bundle of resentments, you know.
Well, and then they're winning.
Exactly.
If you want to win, I think you have to let it out, right?
Well, I don't even want to win. I don't want to hold it.
Yeah.
I want to let everything go. And, you know, I work with, I read and work with a lot of Buddhism, and it's a lot of, you know, it's all about letting go, about just letting go.
See, I do this podcast for my personal therapy, so I just like to thank you for that. And now a word from our sponsor, the Miskawan Health Group. Today, we're talking to the two founders of Miskawan. We're talking to its CEO, David Bohm, and its medical director, Dr. Johannes Vassoli. They are the founders of Miskawan. And Miskawan Health Group is a global company dedicated to the advancement and practice of personalized, precise, integrated medicine. And now this health group has expanded to Bangkok. Miskawan has 5 clinics worldwide, 3 in Thailand, 1 in Hong Kong, and 1 in Ludwigsburg, Germany. And their material says they specialize in preventative medicine, rejuvenation therapies, and women's health. Now, we're going to go deep dive into those topics. But remember, Miskawan is German technology, Thai hospitality, and the best of Eastern and Western medicine. Gentlemen, thank you for coming this morning and welcome to the Global Wellness Summit podcast.
Thank you.
Dr. Vassoli, would you start us off? Tell us, please, how the idea was born for Miskawan.
Well, you are asking the wrong person. It was David Bohm who had the idea. And because we met already, I think, 10 years ago in Ludwigsburg in my clinic and became friends. And one day he said to me, well, what? I'm now 72. And he said, once you stop working, what happens to your knowledge? What happens to your all your technology and everything? And your philosophy? And I said, I don't know, I just shut down and that's it. And he said, no, that cannot be. We have to do something about that. And he suggested to me, let's do something in Bangkok. Let's open a clinic there and let's teach doctors there so they can continue with all these therapies. Well, and I'm always curious. And I said, it took me 10 seconds to say, yes, we'll do that. that is the beginning. That was just right. It came out from the blue. But it was David's idea, not my idea.
So it was about 3 to 4 years ago. David, can you tell us what the name means and what inspired you to come up with this idea?
Yeah, certainly. The name Miskawan is a Sanskrit word, and it means literally the Garden of Buddha. And there are numerous Gardens of Buddha, if you look at the history of Lord Buddha. But for Miskawan, it's a place of calmness and serenity. So in our medical philosophy, we like our customers, our patients, to feel calm and serene when they're coming to see us, whether it's for prevention or for cure. And so we felt that name was somewhat appropriate to adopt for our medical business.
Garden of Buddha sounds very serene to me. Something else that struck me is that you really do have, in my mind, a signature style. You know, I studied dance for a long time, and I told you earlier I was a big fan of Balanchine, and I you'd be hard-pressed to not be able to recognize any of his dances. When you see him on the stage, there they are. They're all different, but there is an elegance. There is a Balanchine to it. So have people said that to you about your design?
Yeah, they have, and I'm often not sure why. But I mean, somebody walked in New Zealand, accidentally in New Zealand, into a spa design. She's a woman who's now head of the the Museum of Mad Museum.
Oh, okay.
And she walked into in New Zealand. She walked into the spa. And she walked around, and she went up to the person at reception. She says, "Who designed this spa? Is it Clodagh?" No. And came back and told me, because the sound of water, that over the spa beds, you're not looking at recessed lights, you know, when you're on your spa bed.
Oh my God! Thank you.
The sound of water. There's a art kind of floating around, but being seamlessly involved in the space, all the things we do to please the mind and the eye, and she just knew it was a me.
Isn't that wonderful? I was so delighted to read in your background that you like Norma Kamali, her styles, and I have really enjoyed some of her clothes too. What is it that you look for in clothes? What job do you think they have to do?
First thing clothes have to do is make you feel comfortable, because if you're not comfortable, you're reacting and you're stiff and you're careful how you sit and you adjust things. And this is from my fashion background. So wonderful about Norma Kamali is that her clothes are very fluid, but they have a very good, very very clean line. Of course, my closet is at the moment 50 Shades of Black with a few accents here and there, but it's. She's a wonderful designer, and it's sexy, but it's not, you know, it's not Las Vegas sexy. It's really kind of repressed sexuality.
It's wonderful. I
want to tell you a bad thing though about Norma Kamali.
Go ahead.
So I'm in Japan for the first time, and I'm in Tokyo, and I'm taken out to a restaurant where you sit on the floor. You take your shoes off first. What am I wearing? I can't blame Norma for this, but I did, because I had 5 buckles on each foot to
undo.
Undo.
How dare she?
So I sat there, and we all had a lot of sake, and it was an incredible meal. And afterwards, I couldn't get up to do it. And everybody had gone out to get their taxis. I told Norma about this. She thought it was very funny.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you told her. You know, I just want the listener to know that this is intimidating, to sit and talk to two designing women who have a real look. Veronica, you wore a hat yesterday on stage. That was really daring, and everybody loved it. And they'd say to me, "Who's the beautiful one with the hat?" I'm like, "Don't ask." But anyway, how do you think clothes affect you when you're meeting a client or whatever? What do you try to...
I guess I don't wear clothes to wonder about how that's going to impact somebody else. I think that clothes really are the transition between your inner soul and your the world. And it's kind of a way you get to express yourself without talking. And so I agree that they absolutely have to be comfortable, but it's kind of a voice. Another voice that you have. It's another way to articulate yourself, to have fun, to be playful, maybe to be quiet. Maybe you don't want to be noticed. You know, have fun with it. Be comfortable, be confident, and playful.
Okay, so Veronica's wearing a poochy black jumpsuit and funky, funky tennis shoes, high toppers. We have to talk about the bracelets. Both of you beautiful women are wearing these stunning bracelets. Tell us, Clodagh, what do they mean, and what does thorn tree mean?
Thorn tree is it's a children of the Samburu tribe in northern Kenya that my friend was driving through. Her jeep broke down. She was driving with two guys, and they were in the middle of nowhere, literally middle of nowhere, and out of the middle of nowhere came these beautiful women, beads and at beautiful clothing and little children and so on. And they looked into the Jeep and they said in English, how can we help you?
Oh.
And the chief arrived and said to Jane, the car has to be taken to Isiolo for that part, because we don't have anything around here. There's nothing. And she stayed in the hut. And she said they were so generous. They were having a drought at the time. But she said if there was a leaf and the five people at the table, that leaf would be cut in five pieces. When she was leaving, she said to the chief, you've been so kind. You've given me shelter. What can I do for you? I'd love to do something for you. And she said, he said, help us to educate our children because we're lost in the modern world. So she came back and I was in another studio at that time. I had another studio. This is over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Clodagh, and she did English. She said, Clodagh, could you help me? I've got a little problem with educating some kids. And I said, what we have to do? Well, she says, we have to raise some money immediately. So I said, well, let's do a bring and buy sale right now. You know, let's do it next week. Everybody bring stuff they don't use anymore and so on and so forth. We raised enough money to sponsor a preschool for little kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And this has grown and grown and grown. And we put in wells. We put in dorms. We built the first girls' dorm. We have an art show coming up in November the 18th here, where we sell the art for the kids, and all the artists give their stuff. And it's been an incredible time. I went out there and visited. It's very funny because they think my hair is like their cow's tails. They're blonde, but their cows are blonde.
Your hair makes me smile. You
know, but I know they couldn't take their hands off my hair. And now they're dancing and singing, and they've got jobs, which is what they wanted. We've got even an environmentalist from an illiterate set of parents.
And what do the bracelets have to do with it?
Well, the women make the bracelets, part as you can see in the photographs. I can have some beautiful photographs I can show you. But they adorn themselves, and then they have special necklaces where they're ready to be married, or whether they are married. So the clothing expresses a social position as well, which is interesting. And they do beaded belts as well, and all the money. I mean, $25 for a bracelet gives the child one meal and one breakfast a day for a year.
Money
is very different. In
one bracelet.
One bracelet, yeah.
We got to go, my son and I, to Tanzania, and the mobile safari we went on. The gentleman had been in Africa for years, and he was friends with a few tribes. So he took us to see a Click tribe that lives outside. They don't have houses. They just don't have huts. They live outside. And the wildest thing were the kids were so open and funny. Like, my son would video them and then show them the video, and they would gather around and put their arms all around his shoulders, and they knew him all their life.
I know.
And the grandma had such authority, because if the kids don't listen, a lion could get you, or anything, right? Hyena. So you learn so much. It's life pared down, as you always say.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's my husband Danielle and I went out, and we had so much fun.
So let's come back from Africa. I could talk about Africa forever, but how do you, coming back to New York, how do you approach a client? Say you're called to do a spa in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear about the one for Six Senses. Are you doing that one?
We've done it.
It's done, okay.
But it's not quite, they're adding on they're changing some of the villas, of the old villas and
okay.
stuff like that. So sometimes the projects go on and on.
So this is on the Douro River. It's a Six Senses spa, so expectation is high that it be experiential, memorable, and not cookie cutter. So how did you approach it? What did you do?
I did what I always did. I did the walkthrough. No. And then we got in a car. There were three of us, and we went around to do dry sponge, wet sponge, trying to absorb what the talents were in craft and color and what people were eating and what the view was like, and, you know, looking at the people and seeing how we could suck this all into having a sense feeling of Portugal in every room. And that's what we did. And we used artisans from Porto. I found old tools behind the airport, and had found an artist who would cast them into concrete blocks for me for wall art in the tasting room. So even the old, you know, the old putting the having the old holding hands with the new. It's like creating a family through design. We use the things for winnowing, the big things they drag around with horses for winnowing, but as wall art.
And you talked about how it's a person, that what, how important is the lobby, the entry to the place?
Well, the lobby's like a face, really. The door outside is the face, actually. And the lobby is the big hug, or should be the big hug, when you're actually walking into a space for the first time. I actually read about a guy who died, and his dog stayed in one of the buildings and stayed and became a kind of greeter.
Waiting for him to come.
I think it'd be a very nice thing if buildings had greeting dogs.
I do too.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. So, Veronica, you two are just such a brain trust sitting here. And our listeners can't all afford to have their homes redone by famous architects and designers. What are some tips, and I want Clodagh to think about it too, that you could trickle down to put in a healthy lifestyle no matter where you live? What would you say to people?
There's a lot of DIY tips and tricks, and a lot of being healthy. You know, as a designer, what we can do is create an environment that empowers and brings a little bit more ease and joy to healthy behavior. But at the end of the day, it's still up to the individual to make those choices for themselves. So no matter where you live, you know, if somebody gets you a Vitamix, that doesn't mean that you're going to start being healthy, right? You actually have to start eating the vegetable-rich day and having the nutrients and getting those into your system. So having plants in your space, looking at colors or textures, creating a meditation or mindfulness cove, if that's a practice that you're inspired to integrate into your daily life. Those are all things that anybody can do without a designer.
And a designer really, I think, like a travel guide in a sense, bringing you to places where you want to visit, but taking you one further, because they're a travel guide and they've been in places you've never been in before. So you're pushing them out of their minds into a different mindset. In all the spaces, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, you know, whatever. I have a client now that I'm putting an infrared sauna in every house he's in. He's traveling around from about five different houses. You know, so he's his infrared sauna. He's got his bed. He's got his shower. He's got a small meditation space. And a big swimming pool, of course, an indoor swimming pool, because that's the level. But the client doesn't think of that themselves. They're focusing on their business, their own business. I call it the four C's: contemplate, which is contemplate where you've been, what you've done, and where you want to go. And then you cleanse and you get rid of everything. That also has bad connotations or bad memories. It could be your divorce and you're sitting at the table you won in the divorce. That table carries that energy. You should get it out. No. Mm-hmm. Cleanse. So cleanse. Get into this. Most people, I've been called to go to see an apartment which is already occupied. First thing I do is say, open all the doors of your closets, your kitchen drawers, everything.
Oh, my goodness.
And, So cleansing is very important. and what, you know, what's in the garage, and you know, it's in, and then and give away everything you can, because even if it's ghastly for to you, it could be very useful to somebody else. And so that's your clarification, your cleansing, and then you clarify. That's when you sit down and make a list with your client. We make a list room by room. What do you want here? What are you going to do here? I mean, I suggest that you may turn that. I'll say I might suggest you turn that into a window seat, into a window bay, or we could put a fireplace there, even without a flue, because there's aquifer now that it. Which we've just done in an apartment. They said, we couldn't have a fire. And I said, you'll have the sensation of the fire. I'll give you the sensation of the fire. So you make this list. You create, you make this list. So the four C's: contemplate, cleanse, clarify, create. And I added a C, which is communicate, too, because that's extremely important.
You need that.
I can go on adding C's forever.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, the Miskawan Health Group. Dr. Basoli, what are the specialties? Can you elaborate on the specialties that Miskawan offers to the public?
We are not treating symptoms, we are treating people. I think that is a big difference. And so we, first of all, if a patient comes with a diagnosis, I just tell him, forget about your diagnosis. Let's find out what is wrong with you. And so we are checking all kinds of things, immune system, hormones, of course, the gut microbiome, the food intolerance. And so you have to, and then we have a big overview of this puzzle. And then we see, there is a little problem. There's a little problem. And then we start to fix these little problems until the body is working by itself again. And that is our philosophy. Don't treat symptoms, treat persons, treat human beings.
So that is why you asked the question, why are you ill? And maybe you could tell us again why you believe that healthcare is so very personal.
Yeah, because there is no two identical persons on this planet. Due to a lot of different gene polymorphisms, we are all different, and we have to see that, because just, you know, the normal treatments, the guideline treatments based on statistics. You know, if a drug works in 60% of people, then it said that has to be good for everybody. But it's not. We see that in all kinds of diseases, especially in cancer. There is not breast cancer. It's cancer in the breast of a woman, and it is always different from the other one, from the other breast cancer of another person. And so we try to find out how is this cancer cell working, and what can we do to stop this cancer cell of this patient. And not say, okay, let's do the first guideline treatment. And then if that doesn't work, we take the second one and the third one, and then the patient is dead. Yep. That is what we are seeing all the time. And that is why we try to individualize. And of course, guide the patient. We don't use the name cancer patient. We use the name patients with cancer. Right. And that is why we are not treating only the cancer cells, or try to kill the cancer cells. We try to stabilize the whole body, the immune system. The patient has to be also psychologically healthy to fight his own his cancer. And because the patient can defeat the cancer, not the doctor. And so our philosophy is completely different from all the others.
Well, we know that, Dr. Basoli, you are the overarching guide to the medical treatments, but I was very impressed to learn that Miskawan uses highly accredited doctors, scientists, and oncologists, as well as technology solutions such as artificial intelligence, machine learning. And at the end of the day, you create highly personalized treatments for patients.
Veronica, you are pretty famous for your work in the kitchen, like how you tried to make a healthy kitchen. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, basically, I had just had my son, and I was frustrated because I felt like my own kitchen was fighting me. I was trying to nourish myself and my husband and buying organic produce that was going bad before we could eat it. And it occurred to me that our pantries and our cupboards are really designed for kind of dead food full of preservatives and not living garden fresh food. And so as a designer, I said, okay, is there a design solution to this problem? And so we really went through and reimagined the kitchen very similar to Hoda's four C's, right? Getting rid of everything, starting with a list of what I did actually want to do, pretending like we knew nothing about the kitchen, and then creating from that list the minimal essential things to eating that kind of diet and nourishing the family and making just the process of chopping vegetables more meditative.
Oh my goodness. Yes, because produce goes bad. And on that note, a lot of marriages go bad. How could you have the bedroom help with that? The design of the bedroom.
I think the bedroom should be designed where you can have mad, passionate sex, where you can read a good book, where you can put earphones and listen to something if the other person wants to be with you. And importantly, it should be acoustically balanced because you don't want the mad, passionate sex to go out right through the house. But then for a young couple, for instance, we talk about like nomadic dining. I do make places if I have a house that's fairly ample where you can have nomadic sex.
Oh, that is so fun. I hope people are listening to that.
No, I did it again. I love window seats, so making a window seat big enough to be a bed, pillows, you know.
Little feisty thing. I told you from the beginning, Monica, how feisty she was. All right. Well, you know, I really hate to stop talking to you because we girls could go on and on. But let me just end this wonderful exchange by, you know, what messages do we want our listeners to take away about the possibilities? Yesterday, to me, the Global Wellness Real Estate Symposium, the first one they ever had, was all about the possibilities. We've got a big job to do. We've got to change all the buildings in the world. We've got to make them more people-friendly, and they can't hurt the climate because that affects health too, right? So what gives you hope? What positive steps could everybody take, anybody take? Does anybody want to start?
And I think understand that we're in control of our own destinies, and we're in control of getting what we want. And if we could encourage people to actually speak up, not sit there like passively, you know, again, the emptying the closet really helps. People feel really cleansed when the closet is cleansed, and then that brings a feeling that empowers. It's really empower people to take care of their own needs. If we can do that, now I was talking about making, for instance, instead of a normal pantry, to make we're doing in the house that's in Hyannis Port, we've put space between the windows, between the studs, where we've made slender covered shelves with doors that. Where you can have 3 months of worth of cans. The cans you do use mostly, like coconut cream and black beans and stuff like that, just to hand, instead of having to take out everything so you can mm-hmm. find something. It's recontemplating storage is a big part of it, and I think people can do that themselves if they think about it.
She's Sophie Kondo before Sophie Kondo. That's all I'm going to tell you. Veronica, how about you? What tips or what's possible for people, anybody to do?
In order to
live a healthier inside life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think really paying attention to the products and that you use, that we put in our body, that we put on our body, that we clean with, and you know, it really has to start with consumer habits and all of those can go back to this wellness lifestyle that you were asking earlier. What can you do without a designer? If you start cleaning with essential oils instead of harsh chemicals that are poisonous, even that has respiratory benefits as well as benefits that actually elevate you, raise your consciousness. So one simple shift can actually help the planet and help your well-being.
It's really also as simple sometimes as reading the labels when you're buying mm-hmm, things. Mm-hmm. And I have another tip for people who are really very, very busy and love to cook. What I do two times a week, I don't do it myself because I don't have time, is I buy fresh produce. And I have glass containers in my fridge. So there's the coriander, you know, there's the chopped carrots, there's the whatever it is that I'm planning to make. And I can throw together, my husband will tell you, a lunch or a dinner maybe in 15 minutes. Just throw it in, you know, and it's wonderful. You know, the seaweed is marinating quietly. It's then, but all in glass jars.
So have your mazen plats or whatever they call it, mazen plats, all cut up. Do that once a week meditatively, right? And then it's all there to pull from, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Healthy stuff. Yeah. So you can, it's called like your 10-minute tacos. Mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm. It really is. You mm-hmm. can. It's been a huge benefit to me to have realized that you can't do it all yourself. You're too busy. So you're going to get your cleaner to start chopping. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a cleaner, start chopping yourself.
Sunday nights is a good time to chop after the farmer's market. Clodagh, how important is water, the sound of water, in someone's environment?
Well, I would think I mentioned earlier that sound furnishes a room. You don't feel you've gone into an unfurnished space or an empty space if there's the sound of water. Water holds you, cleanses you. So it's and cleanses your spirit too. I mean, we do try to go beyond the physical. To bring people beyond the physical with the feng shui and the biogeometry. And water is very important. And then getting your water tested, the water you drink, and not buying bottles all the time, but having filtered water in your own home. We have, there's filters you can just stick in your fridge. Mm-hmm. We're in construction in our home at the moment, but getting the filtered water from it's the same water, but it's being filtered in the fridge. It's very simple, really.
Simple. Well, we have been joined by your beautiful husband, who's been filming a little bit. What a powerful man, because he can live with a powerful woman. So I'll let that. We love you, Clodagh. We could go on and on, but I'm going to let Veronica, because you two are in the same ilk, maybe say how important, how inspiring Clodagh has been to you.
Yeah, incredibly. I think, Clodagh, you're really a pioneer when it comes to creating spaces that, as you were just mentioning, it goes beyond looks, and it even goes beyond functionality. It increases the definition of functionality. Because when you're working with the spiritual realm or energetic realm or making something have deeper meaning, it's really incredible and beautiful. And I, you know, like you were saying earlier, that you don't think that your projects have a style because you're adapting, you're a chameleon. And maybe even though people can recognize your projects, maybe it's this sense of peace, or maybe it's the beyond that they're recognizing in your work.
Yeah, maybe we're catching the energy beyond the physical that we don't fully understand. Nobody fully understands, but it's there for us.
Yes. And I definitely have been able to, as a younger architect looking at your work, I have been able to see that in your work. I've been lucky enough to go to some of your projects, and I can feel it in your work.
Aww. So she feels you, Clodagh, and we do too. We can't thank you enough. And all I'm saying is, girl, we need a spa trip to Portugal with Clodagh, you, me, and I'm packing all black. How's that?
That sounds pretty good to me.
Thanks.
And the wine is good.
Oh, yes. That's important. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Clodagh.
Isn't Clota just irresistible? Please remind me to give away one item every time I buy an item, and to organize my closets, and to always remember to keep laughing. Don't forget to check out the details for this year's Global Wellness Summit being held at the Encore Resort in Boston, November 30th to December 3rd. You'll note at www.globalwellnesssummit.com that there is also a virtual option for attending. Well, that's it for this episode. Can't wait to get together again.